Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, where you'll find all the leading brands and running footwear from top names like Brooks, Asics and New Balance, in store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening and welcome along to the Score programme. On tonight's show, we'll be looking forward to what is a bumper weekend of action. The Donegal GAA Junior Football Final set for Sunday. The Donegal Senior and Junior Hurling Finals are on Saturday. We'll be looking ahead to those three big matches. Plus, there's two Derry Football Finals on Sunday afternoon as well. Ciara O'Kane of the Irish News will be running his eye over those. And in soccer, Derry City face and a third game in 7 days tomorrow against Waterford. It's been a tough week for the Candy Stripes. Kevin McLaughlin of the Derry Journal gives his verdict on Derry's current form. But first up, the Donegal CCC will meet this evening to finalise the date for the 2020 Donegal Senior Football Championship Final. At present, next Wednesday, the 7th of October, is the day that was provisionally put down for the decider, but it now seems that could be moved a few days and possibly be held the following Saturday the 11th or Sunday the 12th. The final, of course, was originally set for last Sunday the 27th of September, but was moved after a COVID issue. Well, despite all the restrictions, there is, of course, championship action this coming weekend in Donegal with three big finals, two on the hurling front and one on the football front. We're going to start with the hurling deciders, which are penciled in for this coming Saturday, the 3rd of October. It's a doubleheader at the O'Donnell Park. Coming up, we will look forward to the senior final between Setanta and St Unans. But to start proceedings at the weekend at the Letterkenny venue, it's going to be Dunloe and Carndonagh. Dunloe, of course, in their first year in the junior hurling championship, have reached the decider. We'll be hearing from Cormac Harnett in a few moments time, but first up we've been speaking to Ray Walsh of Carndonagh. Carndonagh, of course, were beaten finalist in 2019 and they're now looking to go one step further this year. Ray Walsh is originally from Kilkenny and has taken up the reins of manager. Not a bad start to his career, making the final in his first year in charge. I've been speaking to Ray about the task ahead.
Step five, as we called it, is next Saturday. And from the start of this year, it was just step by step. And this is the fifth step, and we're hoping to cross the line.
Yep. And you've been successful in each of those steps to date. And yes, you've had a good campaign, and you've had difficulties during the campaign. Is there much room for improvement now as you go to the final, or will you need to bring it up to another level, do you feel, Ray?
Oh, you'll have to improve. It's a final. There's no one going to hand you a trophy at the end of it. I feel that we had a long, long break between the last round of the championship and the semi-final, and you know, it didn't help us. So that semi-final hopefully will bring us on, and you know, the attitude is good, and hopefully with both of those, that hurling and attitude, we can get over that last step.
Yeah. Have you brought much of the Kilkenny flair into the setup this year, Ray?
No. these boys have their own flair, and listen, all these lads were well able to hurl well before I came on the scene, and you know, yes, you try and add a little bit, but you know, have what it takes. It's just to be a team and give it 100% and never stop fighting, and you know, hopefully there's success at the end of it. You know, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, and these boys have been at this stage before, of course, losing the junior final last year. Can you see the hurt in their eyes and maybe the hunger within them that they want to rectify that from last year?
Oh, definitely. You know, it's a conversation that we would have had on a couple of occasions. You don't want to experience it twice, you know. Like I've told the lad that, you know, down in Kilkenny, we lost in All-Ireland in 98 and 99, and whoever you're playing in 99 didn't care that we lost it in 98, and nor will Dunloe care that we lost last year. So, you know, you just have to perform to the best of your ability next Saturday, and, you know, hopefully that'll be enough.
Yeah. When you came into the setup, what impressed you about the type of hurling and any showing, Ray?
The fact that these lads were able to hurl. You know, that to me, I just went into the first night's training session and was, you know, 20 odd lads there, and every one of them had good attitude, and every one of them were able to strike a ball. So, you know, it was a great start. You could see straight away that, you know, if you can get these guys working together, that we have a chance.
Yeah. And your opposition, Dunloe, what do you expect them to bring to the table on Saturday?
Well, physicality. They're a huge team down the centre, they are. They have an excellent corner forward, centre forward. Doesn't miss frees. So, you know, they're going to have a massive hunger. They got betting the football last week. And, you know, they're going to try and get some success out of the year. So they're going to be giving everything they can for Dunloe, as we'll be giving everything we can for Cairn Donnan, you know.
Yeah. Squad-wise, going into to the game this week, do you have everybody available, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, Everton, a good, clean, healthy set up now at the moment. Great attitude, everyone's ready to rock, and let's hope that we get the bounce of the ball, or, you know, just stay fighting till the end, and hopefully you're ahead by that point.
Yeah, 25 years since the junior title on the hurling front was won in Cairn Donnan, and as you know, the knock-on effect from winning championships can be huge, and this will be big if it comes off at the weekend. This will be huge for Cairn Donnan, and in particular, and a show in hurling as well, and in that region, Ray.
Yeah, no, I can see it. Since I came here, my own young lad is involved in hurling there with Cairn, and so even a number of the current senior team, like they're all helping out at underage level, and there's a lady there, Nuala Lafferty, she's pushing it on big time. And, you know, there is groups of individuals that are excellent hurlers at every age group. And it's brilliant to see. It's they have success. Dara McCormack trained the under-14s to win the B final this year. And John O'Donnell is looking after the under-10s. And it's Padraic Doherty is looking after the under-16s. And they're all still in with a chance of getting success. So, you know, it's good. It's all good and healthy.
So, Cormac, what's it been like round Dunloe over the last couple of days as you prepare for what is a first ever Junior Hurling Championship final?
Yeah, great excitement, Ashley. I mean, at the start of the year, in our first, I suppose, entry into adult hurling, we certainly didn't have the expectation of getting to a final. But look, a lot of hard work and effort has gone in right through from the opening up of pitches and the availability of training. And, you know, there's been a lot of resource gone into it, and we're very, very excited at the prospect of being in a final in our very first ever year.
Yeah, what's been key this year for you guys and for the squad and for the team, man? Because I'm sure you took things on a game and game by game basis, given that this was your first year. But what was sort of the main parts as the championship went on that you maybe started to realise, listen, we could get to a final here?
Well, we had great momentum from the start, and I think that was the main catalyst for us. I suppose when something is very new, it's exciting. So it being our first year, it was exciting from a player point of view. We're a very young team, we're largely under 21, so there was a whole debate as to whether we would go into an adult championship or not, and we decided that we would, and that brought in some older players who wouldn't be under 21. So that sort of mixture of the older lads together with that under 21 cohort just really gave us an enormous amount of energy from the start. So, you know, the sessions have been great. There's been great continuity. There's been great application and effort by the players. We have a great management set up there as well, in the shape and form of Ronan Mulligan and Stephen O'Dea and Padraic Lawler and Eddie Lacken. So there's been plenty of help. There's been plenty of energy, plenty of commitment. And I suppose they're the ingredients that got us to the first match against Unions, which was always going to be a very difficult match, and, you know, it's put us to the pin of our collar. But having got over that and all the history that went with it, it being our first ever adult game, our first ever championship game at adult level, and it brought a lot of media attention. And I suppose there was a little bit of pressure attached to that. But having got that sort of monkey off our back, you know, things really, really went progressively better from there. You know, with the fact that we had that momentum, the fact that we had our first game under our belt, that we'd won it, and we knew then that we could compete at that level.
Yeah, and you carried that momentum the whole way through to the semi-final, where you had to see off Setanta. Setanta, of course, a club which is seen as one of the powerhouses of hurling in the county, and you've got through that tie, so then you'll take great confidence out of that, so as well.
Absolutely, Cormac. Absolutely. And Setanta are the great powerhouse at the moment of hurling in the county and beyond the county. And, you know, we knew, having met them earlier on in the championship, that they probably had underestimated us a little bit in the earlier stages, and that we'd meet an entirely different animal when it came to a championship semi-final. And we did, and it was a ding-dong battle. and you know, right up to the end, the game was in doubt. We always had a few points to spare, but they you know, progressively clawed us back, and the game was certainly in the mix in the last 15 minutes. And it was a great game to watch, great game to be a part of, and you know, it could have gone either way in the end. But you know, thankfully we came out on the right side of it, and lo and behold, we're in a county final, which, as I say, would have been beyond our realistic expectations at the start of the year.
And the opposition is a side which has already been to a county final. They suffered defeat last year in the Junior Hurling Decider. And on that basis, I think it's fair to say they might be going on as favourites for this one, and use guys the underdogs, which has been underdogs all year. So you have Cormac.
Yeah, we have. And look, at that rests well with us. We are the young guns on the front at the moment. Cardona, you know, they're a very historic hurling team. They've been playing at added level for a while throughout the decades, and they're a very accomplished team. You know, they really had a bit to spare over Erua in their semi-final, and we know the pedigree that Erua have, and they reversed the result of last year's final very impressively. So I mean, look, I've been involved at county level with a lot of their younger players in terms of training, and I know a lot of them, and then with the, you know, the Kyle and the Padraig Dohertys, and you know, various other older lads in that group. They're a very experienced team. They're a very fine hurling team. They've proven before that they can get to finals, and I'm sure they're very keen this year to try and take it one step further.
Yeah,
and we're very keen to try and stop them.
Yeah, just finally then, is there another level in Dunlower? Will it need another level if you're going to be crowned champions?
Well, they'll have to be, because, as I say, you know, Cardona are a very accomplished team. Their last year's beaten finalists. You know, they've obviously stepped up a gear again this year by dispatching Erua, whom I said are a fine team, and dispatching them in the manner that they did. So, you know, if we play to the level that we've been playing all year, I think it'll be competitive, and I think we'll lose. So we definitely have to take it up another level to beat Cardona. There's no doubt about that.
That's Cormac Harnett, and before that, Ray Walsh, as Dunlow and Cardona do battle in the junior final, which starts on Saturday at 1:30. That, of course, is going to be followed by the Donegal Senior Hurling Final. It's a repeat of the 2019 decider as Setanta take on St Unans. Setanta, of course, are the holders, winning through by 9 points in last year's final. As for St Unans, they haven't won a hurling senior title since 1972. We'll hear about St Unans' quest for glory from Tom Hennessy shortly. But first up this week, I've been speaking to Danny Cullen, who's going for a fifth senior hurling crown.
We're well accustomed to it at this stage, like, and I suppose a good thing. Like, a lot of talent in the club too, which is, you know, it's kind of, things are good at the minute now, so looking forward now to Sunday or to Saturday and see how things go with it. Like,
yeah, have you changed things much since last year within the Setanta setup?
Well, our manager's changed there. Paul Campbell, he stepped down last year, and so Paul had a lot of good years was there for the last, since 2007. Like, so he put on a big shift for us, and then Gary McGetting took over from him then this year. So Gary's in his first year. Like, so, you know, it's going good for him too. Like, so hopefully he can continue that on Saturday night.
Yeah, and players-wise, everybody fitting well, Danny, at the moment as you go to another final?
Yeah, everyone's fit. Just one or two wee niggles here and there going into, like, but hopefully we can get that cleared up now before Saturday and give us just that one last push now too. Like,
yeah, and you don't mind having the tag of heavy favourites for this one, do you?
Look, there's always a way. Look, we know we're very not going to get complacent, like, you know, with strong people. We know what Unans are like too. Unans are a very strong side as well, like, and you know, even last year, only the goal before half time, you know, it kind of changed the game for them. Like, so we know the challenge, like, is ahead of us. Like, and even in the group stage, you know, like, there was nothing in the first half until they got a man sent off. So, look, it's going to be a tough battle for us. Like, and just hopefully we can perform, and if we perform, hopefully we can get the result then. Yeah. Like,
do you see St Unans then as maybe a bigger threat this time round?
Oh, they would be, like, you know, because in fairness to them now, they're like a growing team, like, you know, over the last number of years, that every year they're improving, like, and, you know, they always have a very strong underage, and that's starting to see true now to their senior team, like, and, you know, so they are the common team in Donegal, like, and it's just a matter of when they do want it, like, you know, and just for us, like, you know, we're probably on the other side of 30, like, but, you know, we're just kind of, hopefully we can get a few more out of us at this stage, like, and But in fairness, now unions, they are the common side. Like,
yeah, you mentioned about the goals that won the games last year. Is that going to be a similar case this year? And will you need them early as well to sort of keep the Letterkenny boys at bay, Danny?
Look, here in the days, everyone knows the goals won games. Like, but you know, it's just a matter of making sure you take the opportunities when they come. Like, because you know, sometimes they might not rise at all. Like, and you just have to be complacent or just have to be confident to take your scores. Like, you know, in a way, just keeping the scoreboard ticking over. But look, whatever happens, you know, Unions are the same. There's a lot of good threats in there with Kevin Keighley and Conor O'Grady. You know, they've really been getting the goals now for them recently too. So, look, it's just one of those things. Like, we'll just have to see what happens on the day itself.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, well, you have your threats as well. Obviously, Jared Gilmore, Declan Coulter, David Flynn, yourself, just to name a few. And you were all required in the semi-final against Burt. You came through that last four encounter. Now, you did have, what, was it about 10 points to spare in the end? But maybe was the game a wee bit tighter than the scoreline had suggested, Danny?
Well, definitely. Now, in the first half, you know, Burt kind of gave us all they want. Like, and they came out, so they're well-organised and they're well-drilled. Like, and, you know, I suppose it's only we kind of had 4 or 5 points just before half-time, and it kind of put a bit of a gap between us. Like, and then we kind of had a purple patch then just after half-time too. Like, and we got a couple of goals too, which kind of really put us in front. But in terms of Burt, then they came back and, you know, put in a big shift in the last 15. But then, you know, for in terms of the unions we'll be expecting a lot stronger side or a lot more season, because in fairness, the Burt are in transition, you know, so whereas Unions have this team now for the last 5 years, so they'll be kind of a more season side, like, and probably will definitely be a tougher challenge now.
Yeah, were you surprised that St Unions came through against Buncrana? Because everybody was tipping a Satanta Buncrana final at the start of the year, but the boys from Letterkenny stepped up in their last game against Buncrana, so they did.
Yeah, no, like, I'm not really surprised, to be honest, because I just, you know, in fairness, Buncrana are a very young side too, you know, and it's, you know, they're making big waves, and especially in the last couple of years, and, you know, it's, you can see that from the results this year, like, you know, the 3-1s in the first three games, like, but then, you know, when it comes to the kind of knockout stages then, like, it is an experience that does carry a lot, like, and Unions do have that, like, because now they're playing in their third final in, what, is it 4 years, like, so, you know, it's, they are a side that actually, while they are balding, like, but they are a season two when you can look at it, like.
Yeah. How many titles have you won now with Satanta at this stage, Danny?
I've won four, so now that's hopefully we're going for our stuff now, and on Saturday now, so.
Yeah. And there's a lot of players within that squad will be going for their fifth as well, because they've been around for a few years, haven't they?
4 or 5, I'd say, been there, because the last time we won two in 07 and 08, so yeah. Myself and Kevin were involved, and Martin Bunner, and Sam McManaman now, but other than that then, I think that most of my youngish enough are new to the club. Like.
Yeah, and just finally, you have, of course, you're going for back-to-back titles, having won it last year. Do you feel Satanta have improved on how they've been playing their hurling from last year? Have you stepped up, have you?
It's hard to judge, you know, that way, because, like, you know, progression, like, it's kind of, people just see it in titles and all, but in fairness now, you know, that we have a very good season, training's going well, but, you know, people only judge you in what you won, so, like, if we don't win on Saturday, they'll be saying we've gone back a level. If we won on Saturday, they'll be saying it was expected, or, you know, I can't wait. But look, we're just kind of plugging away our own wee thing. Look, training's been going good for us. We had a good year, especially in the year I was in it, like, with COVID, like, you know, and boys really committed, like, so in terms of that, we had a very good year. But look, if we can get the one on Saturday, then it's just really putting a cherry on top of it, like, so. Yeah.
Tom Hennessy, St Unions, looking into yet another Donegal Senior Hurling Championship final. It's a repeat of last year's decider where you take on Satanta. I suppose being back in a decider was your main target with the new campaign getting up and running this year, and you find yourself back there. Can you guys go one step further than last year?
Oisín, look, you always want to keep going forward, and there's a great belief in the group that that we can, you know, bridge the gap this year. To be honest with you, we're just happy to be playing hurling and to get the opportunity to play. So, you know, yes, we do firmly believe we can bridge that gap, and we're hoping to do it Saturday.
Yeah, you progressed to the final, of course, against Buncrana. And it was interesting, everybody at the start of the season had sort of tipped Satanta and Buncrana to be back in the final. But the underdogs' tags sort of suited you guys in that semi-final, and you won convincingly against Buncrana in the end.
Yeah, it's, you know, it was, even going back to the group match of Buncrana, we lost above in Buncrana. But I remember saying that night to one of your colleagues that that we would have a say later on in the championship, you know, that we weren't finished. And, you know, it wasn't just an off-the-cuff statement. We'd actually looked at the match that night, and from the first water break on, we'd actually owned the ball, just couldn't put it between the posts. And in fairness to Buncrana, they did, you know.
Yeah.
So we always knew that would possibly be ourselves and Buncrana in the semi-final. And, you know, it was kind of a roles reversal, to be fair to them. We were missing a good few the night we went up to Buncrana, and then they were missing two when we played last Sunday. So we always knew that if we met again, that, you know, that we had the game and that we had the players to be able to get through to the final.
Yeah, you scored 13 points in the final last year, Tom. You're going to have to score a lot more than that, do you feel, this time around, if you are going to take a huge one?
Yeah, look, it's very rare you win a county final with 13 points, you know. And looking back at last year's match, we had a lot of wides and we had a lot of, you know, bad shot selection. But the positives in that you take is we were getting the shots away. A lot of them, it was just, you know, an aiming issue, planting the foot, maybe making better decisions. So, you know, like, they're things that can be fixed. And hopefully we'll fix them on Saturday.
Yeah. Will you have everybody available for the weekend, Tom?
Please God, touching wood, in the current circumstances, we have everyone as it stands. But, you know, Oisin, in the current circumstances, you just don't know, you know, with this COVID-19, you know, things can change very quickly.
Yeah.
So please God, at the moment we have, and again, touch wood, that we'll go in with a clean bill of health the weekend.
Yeah. Just finally then, Tom, speaking to Ray Walsh of Carndonagh earlier, they're looking to bridge a 25-year gap and won a junior title. St Union's haven't won a senior hurling title since 1972, and just like Cairn, beaten finalist last year. And can you see maybe a renewed hunger in the St Union's side going into this decider that maybe wasn't there last year?
The hunger has always been there. You know, look, I can't compliment or praise my lads highly enough. This is my third year with them, and we always knew it would be a project when you have so many young players. You know, you can't put experience into them overnight. You know, you'll get the odd player, okay, who's born with an old head on young shoulders, but, you know, most of the time in sport, they have to go out, they have to make their mistakes, they have to learn, and we've learned at the hard end, you know, for the last 2 years. The hunger, you know, like, I see these guys in training 2 or 3 times a week, and, you know, the intensity they bring, the desire they have to play for their club, you know, the hunger was never a question. What we need to bring is the actual finishing, that little, you know, the cherry on the top, you know. And please God, Saturday, you know, that's, it will be there. And I can tell you, Oisin, no bunch of fellas deserve it more than the group I have. You know, they have, you know, the sacrifices, the commitments, you know, that they make to play. And it's the same, I suppose, for everyone this year in the circumstances that are there. But I can't speak highly enough for my lads. And please God, Saturday, you know, they'll get the performance to match the efforts that they've put in.
That's Atlanta against St. Eunan's. That was Tom Hennessy. And before that, Danny Cullen. And by the way, we'll have full live match commentary from that game, Atlanta against St. Eunan's, on Saturday as from the 4 o'clock start time. We'll also have updates from the Dunlow-Carndonagh match. Moving on to Sunday, and the Donegal Junior Final is taking place at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. And it sees the top two sides in that level fighting it out for a place in intermediate football next year. St. Mary's of Convoy, who were last in the junior final in 2005, are up against Downings, who are looking to go back straight up into intermediate football, having been relegated last year. Coming up, we'll hear from Shane McClafferty, who's the joint manager of Downings. But first up, it's a big day for the St. Mary's side, and their player manager is Lawrence McMullen.
15 years, I suppose it's a long time coming. We've had a lot of good players in that time, we just haven't got over the line. Thankfully now we have the opportunity on Sunday, and there's a great excitement about the parish and the three villages. Looking forward to Sunday, and we just hope to go out and do ourselves justice on the day.
Yeah, obviously looking to step up to intermediate football as well with victory at the weekend. But I suppose in your campaign, going through the sections that you were involved in, it was a solid campaign, and then obviously coming through in the semi-final against Convoy with 7 points to spare. Do you feel you're in good shape now going into this one, Lawrence?
Yeah, actually, look, we got through the group kind of okay. We had good games and bad games, and we got the 4 victories. Then went to the semi, got straight to the semi against Letterkenny. I mean, you had to deliver a big performance, because the Gaels have been, like ourselves, knocking the door for a while, and they have a lot of quality players, and thankfully our lads delivered a big performance last weekend to get over the line.
Yeah, obviously the Gaels were a side that were looking to get back to a junior final as well, having lost out 12 months ago, but you marshalled their key players very well. You're going to have to do it again against Downings, and I'm sure the opposition at the weekend is probably going to be the toughest you're going to meet this year, is it, Lawrence?
Yeah, that's I said there at the weekend as well. Downing is going to be a step again. Like ourselves, they got promotion to Division 2 for this season. Obviously, with COVID, that didn't happen. But they've been making great progress as well. It makes for a very entertaining match on Sunday. The team that gets their performance right today will come out on top. I think it was very evenly matched teams, and hopefully we come out the right side.
Joe McGill stepped up with 9 points in the semi-final one against the Gaels. Is it going to take another big performance from your big players if you sort of get over the line, Lawrence?
Ah, exactly. Our big players have to step up, but no, it has to be everybody step up to play the game, same as last week. There was a lot of very good performances out the field, and Joseph kicked the ball over the bar to get the accolade he deserves. He's been practicing a lot for it.
Yeah.
But there's more players in the field to get the ball to him, and there they take over the mantle if opportunity arises.
Yeah. So what's the build-up been like then since the semi-final? Obviously the original date for the semi-final had to be postponed with COVID issues in the area, but what's it been like since the semi-final and amongst the club and amongst the parish, Lawrence?
Oh, it's been a good excitement. Obviously it's a short turnaround with the 7 days, but everybody's getting buzzing in the parish and the three villages, and putting up button and looking forward to the final. The lads are excited and looking to put their best foot forward and try and get a result on Sunday.
Yeah. You were involved 15 years ago in 2005, weren't you?
Yes. Myself and Liam Mealy was also in nets that day, and Packy Mealy was playing as well.
Yeah. But you're back in a final. You're player manager this year. Will you be lining out come Sunday again, Lawrence?
We'll see how we feel come Sunday. Yeah, did last week, but we'll see how we feel come Sunday.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's, what will this mean then to the club finally, Lawrence, if you were to take what would be a huge one for St. Mary's?
Oh, exactly. Actually, we've been making huge strides the last number of years. We went from 20 years in Division 4 to Division 2 now in 3 years. And this would be, you know, icing on the cake to get into intermediate football. Summary Downings, we're trying to progress the club on and off the pitch, and this is the next step for us, and hopefully we can deliver the performance on Sunday which matches the occasion.
So Shane, looking ahead to the big decider this coming weekend, it's your Downings up against St. Mary's of Convoy. I'm sure there's a good buzz around Downings over the last number of days as you head into a county final.
There is, Ashton. There's a bit of a buzz around the team, alright. I suppose the only disappointing thing would be that they're there won't be any spectators there to see it, like, but, and there won't be anywhere for them to gather to watch it either, I suppose, like, but there's a bit of a buzz around the training and around the club at the minute. We would have been very disappointed last year getting relegated from the intermediate. I mean, we went up to St. Noel's in the group stages and we lost with just a point, you know. They went on to win it and we got relegated to junior, like, you know, so would have been a big goal of ours to get back to intermediate this year, you know, after getting promoted last year to Division 2 along with Convoy. You know, we would like to consider ourselves as an intermediate club with some good young talent coming through there. Footballers in it.
Yeah. Is there much of a difference between, say, the lower half of intermediate and the top tier of junior, Shane, do you feel?
I don't think there is, actually, to be honest, no. There wouldn't be a massive difference in standard altogether. I think it's the team that better prepares and the team that'll go on, you know. We were probably a bit unlucky last year with a lot of injuries going into the playoffs, like, you know, and it hampered us, like, and maybe, you know, we probably didn't take it as serious as what we should have done. But hopefully we can rectify that and you know, consolidate an intermediate spot.
Yeah. Listen, you're undefeated in this season's competition. What's been the key ingredient in the run to the final for you, Shane?
It's just preparation. You know, the lads have been very, very good. They've prepared well. I mean, we set out at the start of the year was to, you know, before the whole lockdown thing, was to survive Division 2 and to get back to intermediate. So this was one of our main goals. And they've worked hard. They've worked towards that, like, you know, so... Please God, we can get over the line on Sunday.
Yeah, you had an extra week break as well. Do you think that could benefit you in the run through the game?
It has to, like, you know, because we were carrying a few knocks and a few injuries, you know, nothing overly serious, but things, you know, that just weren't given a chance to clear up. So hopefully they'll be all cleared now by Sunday and we can give it a rattle.
Yeah. Well, one of those players was, of course, a man who's been around the county, seen Larkin Connor. He was nursing an injury and didn't start the semi-final. Will he be okay for the decider?
Well, I suppose we're giving him a few more days to see how he is, Ashin, you know. He's just not 100% cleared up yet, like, you know, but we'll give him every chance to be ready.
Yeah. Who else are the worries for you, or can you say at this stage?
Eric Roberts was out there for a while too with a hamstring injury, like, you know, and, you know, a few others, nothing majorly serious, but just carrying a few knocks that needed time, like James Lee has a wee bit of hamstrings as well, and Ashin Butch was out injured just a few games. So. No, just three knocks, but they'll clear up, hopefully, before the weekend.
Yeah. So what do you make of St Mary's of Convoy, your opposition? I'm sure you know lots about them, as you said. Both these are heading to Division 2 of the league, and when it resumes next year, you played each other twice last year. You'd be familiar with each other?
We'd be fairly familiar, fairly similar styles of play. Like, I would think two good forward lines, you know, but pacey, you know, accurate, young sides, like, you know, so I'm... Hopefully it'll be a good game. Hopefully it'll be a bit of a shootout, like, you know, see who comes out on top, you know.
You scored 110 against Mavill. You won the game by 6 points, but you get the match's only goal. Is this the type of game, do you feel, Shane, that whoever's going to get the goal could end up the match winner?
I think so, Washington. I think it's going to be very tight. I think goals are going to have a big in the game, you know, and it's definitely going to come down to the wire, I think, this one, like, because there's very little between the teams, as you say. The two teams got promoted last year to Division 2. They beat us in Convoy last year. We beat them in the innings, so, you know, there's not really much to separate it, I don't think. Could be the bounce of a ball, you know, a black card, a refereeing decision. Anything can come up against these games, like.
Yeah. Just finally, you mentioned it earlier, Shane, that you dropped out, obviously, from intermediate last year and you're looking to go straight back up again. Do you feel that maybe the campaign that you had in the intermediate and you were playing maybe not so much a better quality of team, but maybe at times a higher standard of football, could that end up being a factor come Sunday as well?
Well, it's that wee bit of extra experience, I suppose, Ashin, like, you know, that you have from playing, you know, as you say, a higher standard, like, you know, better teams, I suppose, more seasoned teams. So our lads would have that wee bit of experience, but I don't think it'll count for an awful lot on Sunday. Like, I think whoever's going to be up for this one will take the honours.
That's Shane McLafferty. And before that, Lawrence McMullen. By the way, St Mary's Convoy against Downings will be live on Sunday Sport here in Highland as from 4:30. Elsewhere in Championship football this weekend, there is, of course, two big deciders in Derry. The senior football final will see the defending champions, Mara Feltz, up against Sloughneil. O'Donovan Ross, of course, are six-time winners. Sloughneil haven't won the senior title since 2017. While Steelstown and Greenlock will fight it out for the intermediate football title on Sunday as well. Throughout the Derry Championship, we've been talking about action in the Oakleaf County with Cathal O'Kane of the Irish News. Telling me earlier today, he says it's going to be a really, really tough senior encounter, but he's just edging Sloughneil. So, Cathal, it's going to be the holders, O'Donovan Rossa, against Sloughneil in the Senior Football Championship Final. this coming weekend in Ballaghy. We'll touch on Slochneil first of all. Speaking to Martin McHugh earlier this week, who's been keeping an eye what's going on in Derry, and he said Slochneil are back. Would you be of the same feeling as that? Are Slochneil now maybe a better team than what they were when they last won the Derry title a number of years ago?
They're absolutely back, back at what they were. Whether they're a better team remains to be seen, but they're certainly playing at times a more fluid brand of football, a more open kicking game than under Mickey Moore at times. Now Mickey Moore's reign was hugely successful, won those four county titles and three Ulsters. So it was hard to argue with what he has done, and Slochneil haven't been back in a final since. Haven't obviously won one yet. And Sunday will be a very different test because Marafelt won't give Slochneil the space that they've been getting up to this point. Teams have been allowing Slochneil's forward line to run riot. They're averaging, it's crazy what they're scoring at the minute. They're running up hurling scores. They're averaging 217 a game in the championship, which is some scoring. But Marafelt won't concede 217. And the question is whether Slochneil can get to probably 15 or 16 points, so probably be enough to win the game.
Yeah. And they needed 15 points to beat Glenn in an earlier round, so they did.
Exactly. That was the marker. And that was the one real test that they've had on this run, to be fair. And Glenn, I think Marafelt will learn a lot from watching that game, from watching the way that Glenn set up and things that Glenn did. And it was funny that Glenn conceded 15 points and kept the game tight, but they did it very much in an offensive way, in the sense that, you know, the huge spaces in Glenn's defence, no sweeper. And ultimately, probably what undid them and what beat them was the fact that they left so much space. But equally, it showed that at times the best way to put Slochneil on the back foot is to go at them, and that's probably not going to be the template that Marafelt will use. They are more structured and organised and often defensive side, and they'll try and keep the game low scoring and tight.
Yeah, and Marafelt have obviously come through the rounds and have won games by low scores, as you say. But that kind of football could end up frustrating Slochneil, so it could, Karen.
Absolutely. Obviously, there's a bit of history in the fixture in a game that blew up a couple of years ago when we had an incident where Marafelt refused to come out and had all 15 inside their own 45, and then Slochneil refused to go in, and the ball ended up being walked around the middle of the field for 3 or 4 minutes at the end of the first half, and the crowd was booing and different things. But look, Marafelt stayed in that game, and they stayed in it for a long, long time, and they frustrated Slochneil for a long, long time. And I think it's without question that Marafelt are a far better side now than they were there.
Are they better last year?
They are. I think they are. Individually, you would have to say they are, because Ryan Ferris has transferred back from Balmawiggan and is playing well. Peter Quinn played in the Dublin final last year for Thomas Davis and was asked to do, you know, all of their big man marking jobs through the Dublin Championship on Dermot Connolly and Kev McManaman and those boys. And he actually can't get into the Marafelt defence. At the minute, he's on the bench. And then Michael McAvoy, who'd be on the Derry squad, is back this year from a cruciate he missed last year. So, you know, they've actually added three players, and they've lost nobody in terms of any significant injuries. So there's no question they're a better team. They're more structured. Again, they're brilliant at the system that they play. They're so well organised, and they're just very, very hard to beat.
Yeah. If Slochneil were to get an early advantage in the game, would it, as the game develops, would Marafelt start to struggle given the way that they play the game and the tactics that they bring? Because if they have to chase it, there could be a lot of at the back.
It's a big question for them. Nobody has yet had Marafelt chasing a game of any significance. Glenn beat them in the group stage, and that's pretty much what happened. Glenn came out of the traps, and I think we're 4-0 up in 5 minutes. And really, like, Marafelt never, ever looked like winning that game from there on. And it is the question, because they don't have a huge pile of natural scorers. Shane Heron is playing brilliant stuff, playing in full forward most of the time. But realistically, off Brendan Rodgers, you do well on a good day to get two or three at best off Brendan Rodgers, and that's who he'll be marking. And if he can get those two or three, then Marv Felt will feel they have a chance. If he doesn't get those two or three from play, it's where they get enough. They're averaging 110 a game, and that is around about, you know, they scored 12 points in last year's final, 110 on average this year, so that's what they score. And if they can creep that up to 14 points and keep Slack Neil, I think they'll keep Slack Neil to round that as well, 14, 15 points. So it's, I expect a very, very close game and round those markers.
Yeah. Right, if you expect a close one, who are you tipping to win it? Who do you think is going to win a car?
I've been sort of looking at it all week and going back and forward in my head. And I do think that, I mean, we haven't had a draw in Derry since 2007. In the final, and it is a very, very real possibility, probably for the first time in a long time. But if somebody put a gun to my head, I would just say Slack Neil on account of having the better forwards and just if 13 or 14 points wins it and you're asking which team gets there first, I think Slack Neil would just about get there first.
Yeah. What happens in the event of a draw in the final? Has the rules changed for the decider, or is it a case they'll go to extra time and penalties?
No, it is extra time and penalties. I just checked it out yesterday there. It is extra time and penalties. Obviously, our county final is late in terms of what most counties have done. Derry set out to stretch the club programme as long as they could, but the offset of that is extra time and penalties. So, say a draw, it could be a draw in normal time, but they're by far the two best conditioned teams, the two fittest teams in Derry. And that was very, very evident in both their semi-finals, that they were miles ahead physically of what they were playing. And so, you know, if it's level at the end of extra time, it could well be level. Or sorry, if it's level at the end of normal time, it could well be level at the end of extra time as well. So don't rule out a shootout.
Okay, then. Well, you think it's going to be a tight one on the football, senior football side of things. What about the intermediate? You did tip Steelstown and Greenlock both to progress through to the final. Is this a similar case? Is it going into the intermediate decider, or is it too tight to call?
It's very, very tight. Say, if you'd asked most people at the outset of it who would have won it, it would have been Greenlock on the strength of their forward line. Not quite sure what happened to them against Castle Dawson. They were 8 points up and looked very comfortable in the semi-final. And next thing, bang, it was a game. And they ended up, I think, having kicked 2 points later on again to McNally. Kicked 2 points later on and got it back for them where they were nearly gone. Steelstown edged out Fochan Vale just about. I suppose I would have expected it to be closer of the two semi-finals, though I still would have expected Steelstown to get out of it. It's going to be a very, very, like, Balahi pitch is in great shape. You know, the ball's hopping fast across the ground. It does give a wet day for Sunday, but I would expect a very fluid and open intermediate final and could be a real, real brilliant intermediate final, to be honest. It's two of the best teams we've probably seen in an intermediate final against each other for a while. And Steelstown are mad craving a championship at this stage. They lost two finals to Castle Dawson in 2010 and 2016 and have never won one. So they are absolutely mad looking one. Greenlock have been regulars in intermediate finals and sort of knocked on the door of a senior final not a couple of years ago. So they will be favourites in most people's eyes, and it's how, as with most games against them, it's how Steelstown cope with Enda Lynn and Niall Loughlin that'll probably dictate where the trophy ends up.
Cathair O'Kane of the Irish News talking to me earlier today about the big finals coming up in Derry this weekend. As we go to soccer, and the action in the Premier Division of the Air Trusty League also continues this weekend. Finn Harps, who are second from bottom, just a point above Cork City, are not in action until Sunday when they take on Dundalk at Oriel Park. Derry City play their third game in 7 days on Friday evening as they host Waterford. Waterford United. It's been a troubling time for Derry as they've conceded late goals in the last two matches, which resulted in defeat on Monday night. Their latest defeat came at the hands of Sligo Rovers, and Declan Devine very vocal about his disappointment in Derry's performances over the last couple of games, where he went as far to say that he was disgusted with the happenings which took place towards the end of the match in Sligo as Derry conceded late. Kevin McLaughlin is a soccer writer with the Derry Journal, and he can understand Declan Devine's frustration.
And to be fair, it's been justified. I think Bohemians last Friday was probably one of Derry's best performances of the season, and they'd done everything right, and it was great for 92 minutes, and then they conceded two goals in the last 4 or 5 minutes, and they lost the game 2-1. So you're thinking then you're going down to Sligo, buoyant, players are up for it, they know themselves that they let the points slip at Bohemians, but they played well, and it was just back to flat Derry City performance again. No energy, no intensity, slow build-up play. And once again, they'd have been probably happy with a 0-0 going up the road, but a defensive error between Kieran Coyle and Peter Cherry. Nobody knew what they do. 87 minute, and they lose the game. And Declan was absolutely fuming because, you know, it's there's no doubt about it. It's worrying times. People are looking at it. The results aren't going well. And you can keep saying that every week, but unfortunately for Declan, he even says it himself, he had the same type of post-match reaction at Ballybuffet as he had then at Sligo. And that's within 2 or 3 games. And that's just not good enough. Like, and he knows that himself. Whatever he's saying at the minute doesn't seem to be getting through to the players. Or that's the way it's looking at the minute.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a lot more expected of a Derry side. But the pressure is really, really on now with 5 games to go. And it makes this game against Waterford now on Friday night even bigger, Kevin.
It does, there's no doubt about it. They play Friday night, then they have a 2-week break because of international. That's why they brought the Sligo game forward. And then the game they come back to, you play Shamrock Rovers at Talla, who are just beating everybody. And to be fair, there's a
and
fair
could win the league that night.
That's what I'm about to say. They could win the league that night, so they're going to be like absolutely buoyant. And then because of the whole COVID restrictions going around the country at the minute, if I'm Shamrock Rovers, I'm winning every game as I want or as quickly as possible to get this season and the title and the bag. So from Derry's point of view, to Friday night's game is absolutely humongous because you then have Dundalk. We don't know what Dundalk's going to be like because obviously they're playing this evening in Europe and come in the Europa League group stage. It's all that. There's so much going. But look, it's all about Waterford, and they need to get a positive result, and they need to get it very, very quickly, Derry, or they're in serious bother, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and listen, the trouble could have been even, increasing on them, and the pressure could have been increasing on them more if Harps had got a result last week, because there's just 4 points in it, and Harps could have got something the last day to reduce it to 1, and that may happen over the next couple of weeks. We're just going to have to wait and see how the results go, but how can Declan Devine turn this around? Maybe will this 2-week break suit Derry? Is it something that they need?
Well, they have to get a positive result against Waterford. Forget about a 2-week break. They need to just basically give absolutely everything against Waterford tomorrow night because the players know they're going to be getting probably a couple of days off because they don't have a game for 2 weeks. So it's literally go and give your all and try and get this victory. But, you know, we keep saying it so many times, Ozzy. It is crazy. One victory for Derry could see them move up on the 5th place and a couple of points behind 4th place. You know, that's how tight it is and how crazy it is. But don't get me wrong, when the run Derry's on, you don't look like getting a couple of ones. It's just about getting one victory now and then trying to move it on to Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk. But it's all systems go for Waterford and they have to get a victory, to be brutally honest with you.
Will he change it up much then for Friday night?
I don't think he can.
Or is it a risk he's going to take, given what's going on at the moment?
Well, I know, but even the team, the players that he has, to be honest with you, I don't know how he can change it up because they're all very similar. Maybe Gerardo Bruna maybe would play the ball a bit more forward, he'd be a bit more creative in the midfield. The rest of them and the midfielders, they're all good, hard-working midfielders, but you know they're not creative enough, and that's what they've been crying out for all season since they lost Barry McNamee, that creative spark. They play the ball forward and get players on behind. So they don't really have that much to maybe change it around. You may start maybe Stevie Mallon, who came off the bench against Sligo after missing Bohemians. he could be an option. So yes, he has options, but the options are very similar. You know, you tick off James Akintunde, you bring on Ibrahim Mite. That's all you can do for up front. Maybe put Walter Vigier up front. No, they're all the same squad, what he has now. I can't see him get into the under-19s with Alexei Yonfa. Patrick Ferry's been scoring goals for reserves. It's too big a game, too much a crunch time to be expecting for one a 19-year-old or an underage player to try and get you out of the hole, Jerome.
Yeah, the correspondent fixture was back at the start of March. Waterford won that game 2-1, but again, there's been a lot of changes, I suppose, around both clubs since then. But what kind of challenge are Waterford going to be at the Brandywell on Friday, Kevin?
I think they're going to be very difficult because Waterford, at the end of the day, they lost John Sheridan, who went to Wigan. And to be fair, the job that he did at Waterford was phenomenal. People obviously sort of took away from the fact that whole Vinnie Perf incident that he had at Dundalk. But, you know, the job actually, when you sat back and looked at it, you just were impressed. And to be fair to them, they're sitting in third place. Nobody would have said at the start of the season they could be challenging for Europe, but they're in Europe at the minute. They're in that spot, regardless of Dundalk of games in hand. They're sitting third at the minute, so that's a European spot. So they're going to come. They bounce back last week. Yes, they get a bad beating against Shamrock Rovers a couple of weeks ago, but having seen that Rovers game, they had chances. Rovers didn't score their first goal until, I think, the 35th minute, and then they scored three before half-time, and it was game over. But they bounced back last weekend with Sligo. So, you know, they're a side that can be Jack on Hyde, but when they're on it, they're definitely good enough. There are no two ways about that. And I think they're going to come to Brandywell looking to get another positive result.
Yeah. Let's move away now from Derry. Well, just to touch on Harps quickly. You mentioned Dundalk. We don't know if they're going to be in the Europa League group stages or if they're going to suffer defeat tonight. But it will have a knock-on effect for games coming up with Derry and the likes of Harps. So say they do get into Europe. Would you give Van Harps a chance against them on Sunday evening at Oriel Park and possibly coming back down the road with a point?
Well, it all depends what way they approach getting into Europe. If they get into Europe and sort of say, here, listen, I wouldn't mind a few pints tonight for celebrating because we've done such a great thing, then it might help them, might help Harps. But look, Dundalk's record is absolutely phenomenal at Oriel Park. Yes, they lost to Shamrock Rovers here last week, but they had beaten 4-0. But at the end of the day, the Dundalk team that they had that night was nowhere near because they were all looking about tonight's Europa League tie. So I can understand why they did that. I think if they get through, they're going to try and keep momentum going at the end of the day. They want to keep momentum going to the Europa League. They want to keep momentum going to the FAI Cup. So look, it's going to be difficult for Harps. There's no two ways about it. They're not, particularly at Oriel Park, they've lost, I think, once in a couple of seasons. And that once, as I say, was against the best team in the country. They met at Shamrock Rovers, and it was a second string Dundalk. So look, it's going to be difficult for Harps. There's no denying that.
But Paul Hegarty did say that the Harps boys are given a go, and if they were to get a result out of maybe the next two games, which again is Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers, it would be a phenomenal couple of games for them if that was to happen. But I'm sure they're keeping an eye what's coming on down the road after that, and there's some very, very key games coming up, and I suppose one of them that they're targeting is again Waterford, who talked about with Derry. That's the last home game of the season for Harps on the last day of the campaign. And that might be possibly the game that could keep them up. Or throwing a scenario in play, Kevin, you may agree or disagree. That could be the result on that night that keeps them safe in the Premier. And if results don't go Derry's way, they could drop into the bottom too.
That's exactly it. There's no denying that. I think everybody's sort of thinking about Shelburne too. Obviously, rightfully, we're focusing on Derry City and Fun Harps. But Shelburne's stuck in the middle there. They're a team that also could fall in if Harps get results. And to be fair, even Cork, who are sitting bottom of the league, you know, Cork are 9 points. They're not a million miles away. They play some Pats this weekend. The bottom side, you get results and leapfrog everybody. And, you know, and that's when everybody's... It's because it's so tight and congested at the minute. But look, you're 100% right. The last game of the season, you don't know what the crack is with fans getting in, maybe a couple of hundred, whatever it is. You just don't know at this stage. But if you had even a 100 fans on at Ballybuffet that night and it's all Fun Harps men trying to get the team over the line, that's what they'll be looking for. Derry, on the other hand, have to travel to Cork on the last day.
Yeah,
which could be an absolutely humongous game. Now, because we don't know, we don't have a crystal ball, as I say, Shelburne could be down there. I think St Pat's are fine now. I think it's literally between four teams, Derry, Shelburne, Harps and Cork as the four that are battling out for the bottom two spots.
Yeah, listen, there's a lot to play for between now and then. Kevin, as always, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
And that's it from the Score programme for tonight. By the way, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to listen back online in the playback section of highlandradio.com just after the 8 o'clock news. I'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.